We have more presentations to make after the message this morning. I just want to thank Pastor Curry and his wife for being here today. I've known and served alongside of Pastor Dan for 25 years. You've known him longer than that. And brother, I want to say that you were my first choice. I believe that you are Pastor Dan's best friend in the ministry. And when we were trying to think of somebody that we could get to come and speak today, the first thing I thought of was Pastor Dan Curry. I want to thank you for giving up your own pulpit in your home church today. I want to thank you for being here with us, and Patty for coming along. I know Dickerson's are dear friends, and we want to turn the pulpit over to you at this time.
Well, thank you, Mike. This is my first time to be in this auditorium during a church service. I was here a few years ago when Pastor Dave Buckley was going through ordination, and we met up here for the pastors as we were quizzing him. And so it's great to be here at this new auditorium. I've been gone from Mount Pleasant since 1997, so we haven't had as many opportunities to be close to Calvary Baptist and Midland. But over the years, we have so many wonderful memories of this church and of the Dickerson family. Pastor Dan and I have a lot of things in common. Not only our first name, Dan, but also the fact that we both have four children born about the same years. And so Cheryl and Patty kind of chronicled and paralleled each other when it came to children and their childbirth. And we had three boys and one daughter. And so, as I mentioned in my letter, when we got together, the seven boys were pretty wild. And we would do that very regularly. And I was a youth pastor in Allen Park after our days in Colorado. And as I mentioned, we became best friends in those 3 years serving together and meeting together with Pastor Dan every week for prayer and prayed for the youth ministry, and we would hold each other accountable. And I really believe those years are what prepared me for the pastorate, because I was really mentored and discipled by Dan. And so then when we came back to Michigan in 76, he followed 3 years later and came back to Michigan. We're both Michiganders. And then I was open to the Lord's leading for a pastorate after I finished seminary, Detroit Baptist Theological Seminary, and Dan put my name in Mount Pleasant. And over the years, we would come visit them in Midland before we moved to Mount Pleasant, and we saw the construction of the building here. Remember the old church building downtown? And Pastor Mark and Ann became friends of ours, and in fact, I look much more like his dad than he does. And then my size, I'm built just like his father. In fact, when Pastor Mark passed away, they gave me his suits because we were the same exact size. And I wore his suits for many years, Ann. And that was a real blessing for me to be able to inherit his suits. And so I've been built almost identical to Pastor Mark Dickerson's actual size. And so what a blessing it is to be here and to share in some of the memories of 25 years of Dan and Cheryl being here at Calvary Baptist and watching the church grow during those years and change in the buildings that have been built here. And we miss not being closer when we were in Mount Pleasant. We used to see each other all the time when our schools competed against one another. And sometimes we would stand on opposite sides of the gym and we would greet each other afterwards. But one person was always sad because one had to lose. And so there was always that competition. And Mark and Cameron grew up together in Denver as little babies. And then when we moved here, they were the eldest sons in our two families. And they have a lot of special memories together. And then I remember David dated my daughter, Danae, on one occasion. And came over to Mount Pleasant and picked her up for, I think, a junior-senior banquet. And the four children were so close to our four children. So we go back many years. And I was figuring out 38 years that I, as a teenager, got to know Dan when he was a teenager after his freshman year at Bob Jones. And so we go back a number of years. And then, of course, Mike Reese. We go back a number of years because of his ministry here. And he was actually here before Pastor Dan, I believe, a couple years before. So he's been here for 25 plus years. And then Dave and Jeannie Buckley were students of ours at Silver State. So we have a history with them. And in fact, I talked to Dave just this week and asked him, I said, now, I know you can't be there, but I'll give my welcome to the Church at Calvary Baptist for Pastor Dave and his role as a senior pastor there in Charleston, West Virginia. I'd like to have you open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, And as I was thinking about what to preach on, this passage just came out so clear to me as I thought about Pastor Dan and his ministry here at Calvary Baptist Church. And he was a role model for me. He's actually 3 years older than I am, even though I may look older than him because his hair hasn't turned gray yet. But he was a step ahead of me at Bob Jones, and then as a senior pastor in 83 when I came to Mount Pleasant, oftentimes we would talk and we would share and we would get together. And so he was a great example to me as a new young pastor in the ministry. And as I thought about ministry, I really believe Dan Dickerson parallels this passage that Paul, writing to the church of Thessalonica, and he's trying to really encourage this church and then also support the fact that he really did not come in the wrong purposes to minister, because apparently some people were criticizing Paul. Let me just give you the background of this text. Paul, on the second missionary journey, received the Macedonian vision, as you remember, in Acts 16, and God led them from Asia Minor to go into Macedonia, to Europe. And there he went to Philippi first. And Lydia, the seller of purple, was the first convert. And then the Philippian jailer and his household. And Paul had to leave the city of Philippi because of persecution, and he went to the next city of Thessalonica. And while he was there, God did some wonderful things. Right away, people were saved. And the word of God progressed well in that community, and that was a very influential city. It was located on the Ignatian Roman Road, which was a major thoroughfare. And that was one of the capital cities. Macedonia was divided into four provinces, and Thessalonica was the capital city of one of the provinces. So very strategic city. And God blessed, but again, persecution came. And Paul had to leave Thessalonica and went to Berea. And now later, when he's in Athens, later on his missionary journey, he sends Timothy, his young son in the faith, the man that he mentored, back to Thessalonica to find out how the church was doing, because he had to leave quickly. And then Timothy came back to him and reported a great report. And in chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians, Paul says, I hear that you're trumpeting out the gospel to everybody. I hear that you're growing in your faith, and these things are so encouraging to me. But now in chapter 2, he makes the transition because some people had come alongside the members or the group of believers there and started to basically challenge Paul's authority. And they spread false rumors about Paul. And now in this chapter, this is probably the first letter that Paul wrote that's part of Scripture, his first inspired Scripture that he wrote. And he writes this probably in about 50 A.D., and he communicates a message to that church on his credibility as a pastor. And I really believe Pastor Dan reflects this passage in his ministry. I want you to, first of all, notice the motives for effective ministry. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 4 here. And notice what it says, For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance into you, that it was not in vain. So Paul says it wasn't empty. It didn't just happen. God used it. Verse 2, but even after we had suffered before, and we were shamefully treated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not in deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who testeth our hearts. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. So here Paul has to basically support the fact that he has been called of God, that he's faithfully ministered, and that he's communicated the gospel. He's been a church missionary planter. And now he comes back and really has to identify some of the qualities in his life that he was able to demonstrate. And I want you to notice some of the motives of ministry here. And first of all, the mark of authenticity in verse 3. Paul says he did not come in deceit or of uncleanness or of guile. And Paul has to stand up and basically demonstrate the fact that his life can speak clearly for the fact that he was a man of authenticity. Paul did not preach or minister in any kind of error or deceit. He didn't have ulterior motives in why he came to that church in Thessalonica, even though apparently there was some people that were criticizing Paul's integrity in his life. And he demonstrated this mark of authenticity. And verse 3 says, I didn't come in deceit or any immoral undertones, it says, of uncleanness, nor of any guile or deceit or any kind of trickery. I came with a pure motive. And he says, I came with authenticity to minister to you. And then verse 4, he says, I didn't come to please people. I came to please God. Notice he says, God allowed me to preach the gospel, even to speak, but not pleasing men, but pleasing God. And there's a real mark of integrity here. There were people that were attacking Paul and saying that he's just a religious charlatan. He's out there to get some kind of gain for himself. And Paul demonstrates, even though the enemy may be attacking him, that Paul says, I'm a man of integrity, and I want you to know that. And then verse 6, he speaks, verses 5 and 6, the mark of genuineness. He says, I didn't use flattering words. He denies the charge that somehow he was doing this out of flattery or for some selfish advantage. He was not motivated by greed or personal gain. He repudiates all these statements that apparently have been attacked or have been given to Paul as an attack upon his reputation. And so he's a mark of genuineness. I would like to say that Dan Dickerson has demonstrated during the years of service at South Sheridan Baptist Church and at Calvary Baptist Church these same qualities of authenticity, of integrity, of genuineness. I have known Dan when he was a teenager. I've watched him as a youth pastor. I've been closely associated with him for all these years. And he demonstrates these qualities, as you well know, as people of his congregation and church family. I've worked closely with him. We've cried together. We've prayed together. We've been involved in ministry. We know what it's like to be senior pastors of a church with a Christian school and multiple ministries. And it's not easy. But Dan has clearly shown these type of qualities that Paul talks about here. And that's what drew me to Dan back when I was a 16-year-old teenager. When we had these 10 students from Bob Jones that our church hired in Allen Park to canvass for the summer. Pastor Dan was one of those 10. And I always said I would never go to Bob Jones University. And some of you perhaps have said that. Well, then when I met these 10 guys and I saw the genuineness and authenticity in their lives, they challenged me, especially Pastor Dan, why don't you come visit the school? And I came and visited. And I believed that God had led me there, and I gave up some other opportunities to play basketball, and I knew God wanted me to go there to school and play intramural sports and get some training. And I went with the idea of being a business major, majored in accounting. But as a result of my years there, I surrendered to God's leading and taught in a Christian school. And it was really those 3 years in Denver that I felt called to the pastoral ministry, primarily because of Dan's influence on my life. And meeting together and being discipled and encouraged. And these are qualities that I saw in Dan back when I was just a young man. And I continue to see in his life today. And they're very important in my spiritual formation and my growth. And my calling into the youth pastorate and then the senior pastorate. And then, really when I first thought about preaching this message, it was verses 7 and following that came to my mind. Because these are qualities of an effective minister. And these are the qualities that I have watched and observed in Dan's life. And notice these four qualities in verses 7 and following. The quality of gentle affection, which we'll look at in just a moment. The quality of heartfelt love. The quality of sacrificial living. And the quality of true spirituality. Paul now just unveils his life and heart before these people and identifies the qualities that really made him the pastor missionary that he was. And as I've looked at this passage over the years, these are the qualities that I've wanted to model as a pastor shepherd. And I believe Dan has done over the years. Notice with me these qualities. Verse 7 says, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse or a mother cherisheth her children. And Paul says, I want you to know that I cared for you people deeply. Just like a mother. Think of the word picture here. Think of a nurse or a mother holding that newborn and the love and the care and the protection that that mother has for a child. We now have 4 grandchildren, and we have had 3 born this year. And it's a wonderful privilege to watch your kids become children. And I'm sure Dan and Cheryl have watched that. And it's just such a joy now that David's here with his newborn. And I know Mark has 2 boys. And to see your children become parents. One thing, they deeply appreciate their parents more. Because they realize the work and sacrifice of being a parent that they never truly comprehended growing up in our home. I mean, they don't remember what we did for them when they were newborns. They don't remember the sacrifice that parents gave, and now they do when they're parents. And the picture here that Paul gives is this quality of this gentle affection that he had for that church in Thessalonica. You know, the Bible tells us that the servant of the Lord in 2 Timothy 2:24 is not to strive, but to be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and to be patient. Pastor Dan has demonstrated that shepherdly quality to the church here for 25 years of being a gentle, loving servant. He's provided protection and care. He's portrayed the love that is demonstrated in this verse. He's exemplified that quality as a shepherd. Whenever I think about the ministry and how I want to be as a shepherd, Dan always comes to my mind. What would Pastor Dan do? How would he act toward his sheep? How would he care for his sheep? And so what a great role model that has been for me during the years. And he really, this quality of an effective minister, Pastor Dan has demonstrated that. And then the quality of heartfelt love. Notice verse 8. He says, so being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls. One of the things that I've admired so much about Pastor Dan is his heart for evangelism. And I've watched that modeled back when he was hired by my home church to campus. And then in Colorado and then here at Calvary. But also his deep love for the saints. And his quality of this heartfelt love. And notice what Paul says, I gave of my own soul. And I believe that means that not only did he give a message of the truth, but he outpoured his innermost spirit and his soul. He was willing to sacrifice and give of himself. When a shepherd shepherds a congregation for 25 years, you can be guaranteed that he has poured out his life, his heart, and his soul for this family of believers here. This church family, the community of believers. Only another pastor knows what it's like to serve and to shepherd. It's a rewarding experience. It's a wonderful thing to be a pastor and shepherd. But there's also difficulties and hardships. You're on call 24 hours a day, and nobody else knows, except Cheryl probably, the hours that Pastor Dan is available to each one of you, and the phone calls in the middle of the night. I mean, even the other pastoral staff, he probably doesn't tell all the details of his life as a shepherd. And the fact that he's on the go, he's ministering to people that are hurting, people who have lost loved ones. He's dealing with divorces and all kinds of counseling needs. He loves people. And Paul here talks about that heartfelt love. And Pastor Dan has demonstrated his love for people. And that leads into the third point, the quality of sacrificial living. Notice in verse 9 he says, for you remember, brethren, our labor and travail. And those two words that are used there really talk about the strenuous activity, the pain sometimes, the rigor of ministry. He says, you remember the labor and travail for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. Now, Paul was a tent maker. He was bivocational. So not only did he make tents on the side, but he was ministering. So here he's letting them know that I didn't receive any financial remuneration from you. I served, I cared for myself, but I labored for you. Pastor Dan has been faithful laboring in this church, sacrificing, toiling, working hard to the point of weariness and fatigue at times. And yet, whenever we talk, he's always upbeat. You know, he's never discouraged. And I'm sure he is at times. But when I talk to him, he's always uplifting. And even though he may be going through strenuous and difficult times, he's always an encouragement. I've never talked to him where he's been down to the point where I've been discouraged afterwards. I mean, stress of ministry is difficult and hard. And yet somehow, because of the energizing power of Jesus Christ in his life and the work of the Holy Spirit, he's able to see the bright side of, of ministry experiences. Ministry is far more difficult than it was 25 years ago. When I went to Mount Pleasant, we only had one divorcee in that entire church when I went there in 1983. But after about 5 years, we had a number of people, which is great because we're reaching people and we want to minister to people. But as you know, the family and the situation of the family breakup has led to so many problems in our society. And you think of the issues that you have to deal with today that you didn't have to deal with 25 years ago. And ministry is much more difficult. And record number of pastors are leaving the ministry. Record number of pastors are walking away from the ministry in burnout. And so you need to pray and ask God to continue through His grace to minister to Pastor Dan and Cheryl and to encourage them in ministry. The fourth quality that Paul demonstrates here is true spirituality. And notice what he says here, you are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behave ourselves among you that believe. As you know, how we exhorted and encouraged and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that you would walk worthy of God, who hath called you into his kingdom in glory. Paul says, you noticed how I lived. I lived a righteous lifestyle. He says, my walk with God was such that I could model before you how to live. And Paul says, let my life speak before you. And he's facing apparently all this criticism from other people. But he says, let my life speak. And he uses these three words, life of holiness and justly and unblameable, that Paul has lived in such a way that his life has been untarnished, that no one can truly criticize him because of any defect in his character. And I really believe that Pastor Dan has modeled the Christian life for this congregation. He's challenged you to live right. He's helped you to walk before God and before people. He has shown true spirituality, his love for God and his love for people. He's been my mentor. He's been a great example for me to follow. I've been around many pastors through the years, and sometimes I've become really disillusioned when I see that their life does not match what they claim to preach. Or then later I find out that there's duplicity in their life and that their lifestyle has not really been what they claim to be. And I'd like to say that I've never seen one evidence in Pastor Dan's life that would indicate anything less than he has walked worthy before God. And he has been a great example to this congregation and other people of how you're to live the Christian life. And Paul could say that to this church. And what a great testimony that Calvary Baptist Church, that God has lifted up this congregation because of the spiritual leadership team and the pastoral staff and the longevity of the Dickerson family here, Pastor Mark and Pastor Dan and now Pastor Mark again, and to think about the integrity and the authenticity and the genuineness of this ministry because of the leadership team that God has brought here. Now, let me conclude with the results of effective ministry, verses 13 and 14. And notice what Paul says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. The power of God's word to change lives. I'm sure that if I were to ask you individually how God has impacted your life through the preaching of God's word from this pulpit over the years, and how God's word has transformed the way that you think and live, that you are here today because of the power of God's word. And Pastor Dan has been a faithful communicator of God's word, a Bible expositor. And although I've not had the privilege of hearing him preach that many times over recent years, I did every Sunday in Colorado in the youth ministry, and I know that he desires to preach the word. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Paul challenged Timothy, says, preach the word. Be diligent in season, out of season. Reprove and rebuke and exhort with long suffering and doctrine. And Pastor Dan doesn't get off on tangents and rabbit trails. He preaches the word of God. And he has modeled that in his ministry. That's why you folks here have been built up in your faith. That's why you have a church of mature Christians. And you're reaching the lost because you have a heart for evangelism. Because that's been passed passed on from spiritual leadership here. It's been modeled as an example for all of you. And as I think about how truth changes lives, Pastor Dan has inspired you and exhorted you and modeled before you a walk, a lifestyle, a conduct that is worthy of his calling, that is worthy of the position that he has in Christ. And hopefully that you have learned and have desired to follow God and walk in that worthy way that pleases God. When I think of a worthy walk, I come to think in my mind right away, my mind draws to Pastor Dan and his lifestyle of faithfulness. And when I think of how the Word of God changes lives, he's been a faithful preacher of God's Word. And then notice the result in chapter 14. It says that, "For you, brethren, became followers of the church of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews." Paul says, you believers in Thessalonica, you know what it is to be persecuted, to go through suffering. And you've continued on. Not only have you been changed by the power of the truth of God's Word, but now you continue to follow. You're Christ's followers. And what a great testimony that that church was forged in the crucible of suffering and persecution, and yet they became committed Christ followers. This church has been blessed of God. And I'm sure if you were to stop and think about the years of ministry in the last 25 years, of how many young people have gone out into full-time ministry and have followed the Lord into missions or into the Christian education or into the pastorates. And then if you were to stop and think about how you have multiplied yourself, think of all the people that moved to Midland back when they were building the big plant here that they never opened up, you know, with the nuclear plant. And they were here for 3 or 4 years, and then they transitioned back to wherever they were moved to. And you probably had 100 people transition through this church in a year or two. And they took with them some of the qualities that they saw in this ministry. And so this church has had an impact around the world. And that's what happens when you're faithful to God. And here Paul says, you've become followers of the church of God and of Judea. And the church, the mother church of Jerusalem, and then the church of Antioch that sent Paul and Barnabas and Paul and Silas out on ministry. They were the results of that mother church. And so when you think about committed Christ followers, you folks and people who have sat in the pew of this building and the building here and the building downtown, the old church, are now following God, whether they're faithful lay people in churches or whether they're involved in full-time vocational Christian ministry. My challenge to your church now is to turn over to chapter 4 of this epistle, and to you as believers. When I look at the results of effective ministry, I look at the qualities of an effective minister, and I see how God has blessed Calvary Baptist over the years. But still, we need to come back to the Word of God, and what is your role to the pastor? And Paul here identifies very clearly in chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. Really, your commitment to your pastor. And I want to challenge you this morning. And notice what it says in verse 12. "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them who labor among you." And that word "know" there doesn't mean just know who he is. But really that means to respect and to honor and to value the leader that God has placed before you. And then it says, "Know them who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you." God has placed this pastoral team in a leadership role. And they are here to give oversight, to help lead this church. And what is your responsibility? Notice what it says in verse 13, "To esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves." So your responsibility as a church congregation is to value and honor this senior pastor and the pastoral team. To understand that God has placed them here for a purpose. To recognize that God has ordained them to be the pastor teacher of this congregation and the spiritual leadership team of this church. And then you are to esteem them very highly in love. Today, you're sharing some of your love and appreciation for their 25 years. And I applaud you for that. And that's something you ought to do. But I hope it's not something you do every 25 years. I hope it's something you do on a regular basis, that you pray for your pastoral team, that you lift them up, that you honor them and esteem them. A pastor is a man with feet of clay. And we need the prayer support of the congregation. Don't you think Satan is attacking the spiritual leadership of a church? And so, by God's grace, Dan and Cheryl will stay faithful to God throughout the years of ministry. But they need the support of a congregation. And you know what? That makes the ministry pleasurable. And I believe that's what Paul says. Because their work's sake, do this and be at peace among yourselves. Where the congregation has harmony and unity, it makes ministry pleasurable. I've been on both extremes, where there hasn't always been harmony in a church, and it makes ministry very, very difficult. And then I've been in a church setting where there's wonderful harmony and unity and vision has been cast and the people follow. It's a wonderful thing to lead a congregation like that. It's a great privilege that I have to stand before you this morning and to share from the scripture as Paul identifies in this great testimony as he's trying to let his life speak before those critics. The qualities that made Paul a great missionary church planter, and I believe are the qualities that have made Pastor Dan a great pastor and a great shepherd here at Calvary Baptist Church.